I don't need to look to see. I don't need to hear to listen.
Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service, presents The World at Your Fingertips by Anna Yedel.
Blindness separates a person from objects, and deafness separates that person from people. You can understand if somebody is unable to see and unable to hear properly what the situation would be.
We walked down the path to the whale house. Someone was drawing water, and my teacher placed my hand under the spout. As the cool stream gushed over one hand, she spelled into the other the word water. I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motions of her fingers. Somehow, the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that W-A-T-E-R meant the wonderful cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living word awakened my soul, set it free. There were still barriers, it's true, but barriers that in time could be swept away.
One of the first books I remember reading at school was a book about the life of a deaf-blind girl called Helen Keller. I was so intrigued by the kind of world she lived in. I remember coming home from school and closing my eyes, trying to make my way from one side of the living room to the other without bumping into things. For days I refused to speak to my brother, choosing instead, much to his annoyance, to communicate with him in my own invented sign language. Childish experiments, but still, something about Helen's story touched me. I didn't give Helen Keller another thought for years, until recently I took a trip to India. And I was fascinated to learn that there was a Helen Keller Institute for the Deaf-Blind in Mumbai, the city formerly known as Bombay. My curiosity was roused, and I came up with the idea of making a radio programme about deaf-blindness. This was going to be a real challenge, not just professionally, but on a personal level too. How do you interview someone, for example, who can't see you, can't hear you, can't use his voice to speak to you? But a whole new world was to be opened up for me by Akhil Paul, director of Sense International India. Sense supports the development of services for deafblind people throughout the subcontinent. Akhil was to become my guide, more often than not my translator, and a source of inspiration. We arranged to meet at the crack of dawn for a long drive north to the town of Nazik, about 5 hours from Mumbai.
You can be born with deafblindness. You can acquire deafblindness at a later stage, and one of the major causes is rubella. We have very poor immunization program in India. Another one is Usher syndrome. Another cause in India is a child which is born premature. When the child is put in incubator and the inflow and outflow of oxygen, if that is not regularized properly, that child can also end up being a deaf-blind child.
There are estimated to be 500,000 deaf-blind people in India today. Of these, only a small number are born totally deaf and totally blind. Many more have Usher syndrome. This is a cruel genetic condition, which means children are born deaf or hard of hearing. Then, in late childhood, they start to lose their sight as well, due to an eye condition known as retinitis pigmentosa. Deaf-blindness is also closely linked to cerebral palsy, so many people are living with multiple disabilities.
I think if I tell you a story of Kanmani, she lives with her parents in a very small village in Tamil Nadu. She's about 7 years old. First time when the field worker saw her, she was found tied outside the house in a hut with the cows. And there was no one at home. She was crying aloud. Not crying with tears, but, you know, trying to maybe attract someone. And when the parents came, they said that, she doesn't want to wear anything and she can't talk. She can't express herself and she just yells. She is never asleep in the night. She is possessed. So all those spirits come and visit her in the night, and we are very scared. And the fact was that whole day this child used to sleep in the corner of the hut, and in the night there was no one to play with her, so she used to yell. She was totally blind, so she didn't have any reason to know that others also wear clothes, and why I need to wear. Because it's convenient for a mother to leave her like that. In the evening when she comes, she'll just wash her off and she can be taken inside the house. So this is one side, where before any intervention is there, a child can be in this condition. Now today, Kanmani is going to a normal kindergarten. The mother has taken pains to take her work near to her house, because the parents break stones for making roads. She's getting work near to the home so that she can visit time and again and see how Kanmani is doing. So this is only because of little bit of counseling and little bit of demonstration by Kanmani and the field worker that, no, I can also do something and I can look after myself if you give me some support. I can't give you any better example than this.
All too often, deaf-blind children in India, particularly rural India, are misdiagnosed, sent away to homes for the mentally disabled, or simply neglected, hidden away in the back room of a house, with scared and confused parents unable to care for them. But Sense International India and its partner projects are providing another way, and it starts with intervention.
Daddy.
Oh, he's standing here. Yeah.
Oh, and this God. Is Bhupendra.
Bhupendra?
Hello.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
Anna, madam.
In villages where infrastructure is poor and schools for children with disabilities are few and far between, intervention comes in the form of home visits by teachers and counsellors. They bring support and education not only to the deafblind child, but the whole family. Akhil and I visited the home-based project run by the National Association for the Blind, or NAB, in Nazik, a town in the state of Maharashtra.
How much has he changed since you last saw him?
Last time I saw him, he was lying down. And that was his position for almost since he was born. First time I'm seeing him walking without any aid, without anybody's support, and he's completely independent now.
Hello. Now he's taking the mini disc and he's holding it up really close so he can see it, touching it. He's so curious about everything. Madhuri, how often do you come and see Bhupendra?
Kitne baar aake tum yahan dekhti ho? Kab kab aati ho?
Hafte mein ek baar aati ho.
She comes once in a week.
Okay. And can you ask his mother how much of a change she's seen in him?
Benji, aap ye batao. बचपन से लेके जब तक माधुरी नहीं आए थे तब तक ये कैसा था?
माधुरी मैडम आने के बाद ये खुद चलने लगा, बाहर जाने लगा, कुछ साइन बताने लगा, दूध पीना हो तो मिल्क दिखाता है, गैस दिखाता है.
So in 3 years he is walking, he is expressing himself. If he wants milk, he'll show me milk inside the kitchen, he'll show me the gas burner to heat it up. He signs few things.
कब जाके दिखा के बताएं उनको.
कब
और गैस.
And he's particular. The teacher must get tea, so he will insist her कि make tea for teacher, make tea for teacher.
According to Pratibha, Joint Secretary of NAB in Nazik, Bhupendra's progress is remarkable given the circumstances in which they found him.
When we got him, he was 8 years old. He was only on milk. That is, no solid food was given to this child. When our teacher, Jyoti Awar, started going there, she started feeding him with one small piece of biscuit. And then after many months, he is taking solid food. And because of the solid food, physical strength increased and he is walking now.
How does it make you feel to see him walking around completely unaided?
Oh, I don't have words, really. I don't have words. It's the same child. We were very, very worried about his actual survival because he was so weak. I wanted to say it.
He likes to be in the
let's look at him
in the middle of it all.
Talk about choices.
Yeah,
here you can see him. He knows where he wants to go.
Madhuri is one of two teachers working with about 10 children in the NAB home-based project. A typical visit from Madhuri will involve time playing, doing exercises to improve mobility, and, as she explains to me through Akhil, beginning the long process of teaching the child how to communicate.
जैसे कि भूपेंद्र है अभी वो डे ब्लाइंड तो उसको पानी पीना एक ग्लास उसके हाथ में देना तो फिर वही ग्लास लेके वो किचन में जाता है
फॉर भूपेंद्र टू हेल्प हिम कम्युनिकेट दे नीड टू गिव एन ऑब्जेक्ट इन हिज हैंड एंड एक्सप्लेन व्हाट दैट ऑब्जेक्ट इज यूज्ड फॉर शी गेव एग्जांपल ऑफ वाटर व्हेनेवर भूपेंद्र वांटेड टू ड्रिंक वाटर ही यूज्ड टू hold that glass and go into the kitchen and somebody else would put water in that
jab hum uske sath zabardasti kaam karte hai to wo kuch neglect karta hai aur
in the beginning they rely more on mothers what because mothers tell them what the child likes and doesn't like but later on when they start working with the child shows that it doesn't like a particular thing or it likes something and that's how the range of likes and dislikes and choices keep increasing
and can you ask her if she finds her work very rewarding I'm sure she does
kya ye kaam se aapko maza aa raha hai kya isse aapko khushi milti hai jo aap kaam kar rahe ho
ha milti hai aur jo aap din bhar kaam karte hai to wo bachcha jab progress karta hai
it's very very rewarding when the children start progressing I get the satisfaction to my soul To give an example, she said that there was a 7-year-old girl whose mother used to feed her liquid in the lying down position. But when Madhuri started going, she took the child on her lap and fed her with the spoon and she didn't spill anything. So everybody was very happy and the child was very happy.
How did you find today? Did you find today a rewarding experience?
Very, very rewarding experience. I came when the project was being initiated and now after almost 2 years the progress is marvelous and this is what you know a teacher like Madhuri can do and that's why we want to train more teachers but again we don't want to train just teachers and leave them high and dry because unless and until there is a place for them to go and work There is no use of that training. So what we are trying to do is identify one NGO in each state and get one or two teachers from there, train them, and then send them back.
And it's the Helen Keller Institute in Mumbai which provides essential teacher training. Sampada is the course coordinator.
Basically, it started because there was no formal training for deafblindness in India. So in the year 2000, along with the support of Sense International India, we started this course. We give them an introduction to deafblindness. We teach them different kinds of assessment, clinical as well as functional, a lot about communication, then teaching techniques. And it also involves a lot of actual hands-on experience, working in the classrooms with the children, working outside school with the children, doing their assessments, making educational programs for them, doing home visits. So it's a whole lot of techniques combined together.
And what are you hoping will come out of the training for the teachers? What will they be able to do when they go back to their own areas?
Either they'll support their program, or like in some cases, now Vinod comes from Raipur, So when he goes back, he'll help his organization to do a survey, assess children with deafblindness, identify them, and he'll actually help them set up a program because there's no program for deafblindness. So same with Pranab. Like in Orissa, they've set up the deafblind program. He'll go and support his institution to further strengthen the program.
The key to unlocking a deafblind person from an isolated world of darkness and silence is communication. And communication comes at all levels, whether it be a simple touch in response to a facial expression, or a conversation using the tactile sign language developed at the Helen Keller Institute, talking hands.
Under each sign, you can see that there are words written in Hindi, English and Marathi. And they also have finger spelling, so the vernacular finger spelling, which you can use for Hindi, Marathi, they have that too.
The important point to make is that it's a tactile sign language.
When we sign to the kids, it is always tactile, except if the child has got some vision.
Let's take the first one then. The first one is the sign to be alive. You hold your index fingers and your thumbs. up to your neck. For a deaf-blind child, what would the difference be?
He would basically have his hands on yours as you do the sign and bring it from down to up. And that would give him an indication of how the sign is being done and on which part of the body.
I've seen you using the language, and you also use a lot of your face, for example.
So that is to give them an idea of the different facial expressions you are having when you sign. So when you're signing things like smile or laugh, I mean, it's even better if he just touches your face. Something like bird, which is just two hands at either sides and then like moving the wings. It really makes no sense to a child. Now, we cannot see this at all. It's totally in the air. So for that, you would modifying it by having something like maybe two fingers in front of the mouth. So it's much more tactile. So that way, it's pretty comprehensive, I would say.
The Helen Keller Institute in Mumbai provides an array of support and services for deafblind children and young adults. From physio and occupational therapy to a residential school and a vocational training unit. Reena Bhandari is the principal. She says that when a deaf-blind child comes to the institute, right from the start they get the parents involved.
It's really very, very important to involve the families right through the child's life. Very critical in the early years, but I think this association needs to continue even as the child grows older. Because this is a problem we are facing with our older students in the vocational unit now. Families find it hard to accept them back in their families and they don't know what to do with them. So they'd be very happy to have them with us forever. But that's really not, what we want for our kids. We would like them to go back to their families. So that's the hard part. So I think really families need to be involved throughout the child's life as much as we possibly can involve them in. So Bharati will just show you around the program, show you some of the kids and what we learn. She works with young children and she also does some of the vision assessment for young children as part of our diagnostic unit. So she'll show you around and
okay.
Then, yeah?
Thank you.
When a child come to me very first, I'm a new person for him. Slowly, I will start to touch with the child while talking to the mother. I'm then start singing nursery rhymes, start making some sounds so the child can like that and he can try to get attention. So then slowly I'll touch to him, slowly in a very secured way, not in harshly, otherwise the child will not able to accept me. My name is Bharati is not that much important to that child. What's important is that my symbol. I always wear this whenever I'm in school premises.
It's an armband, is it? It's beads that are wrapped around your arm and they're coloured beads.
So the texture also.
So the children feel this.
Yeah.
And then they can feel that this is your sign.
Yes, so this is my symbol. So child understand that this is Bharati. Child will also got the symbol because he also know who is he. He is Swapnil. He got his symbol.
What's his symbol?
Actually, this is a key ring. So I took it from that and make a symbol for him.
So it's a necklace made out of a key ring and it's some red beads and that's his symbol. So he knows that's him.
Huh. Now slowly he make S for Swapnil.
So he touches his necklace. And he makes the sign for S.
S. Yeah. He is not ready to sit on the mat. He just want walk on the floor only because this is concrete base. And this is again the shaky type of thing. So he don't like that. So my job was that his tactile defensiveness was little bit slow. So that time he has lots of mannerism, lots of behavior problem, temper tantrum, he is banging the heads, then hitting others, other persons. 1 year I have to struggle with him to make him calm down. And after 1 year, I got success in that and now his progress is doing, he is doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
He now learned the basic signs. With that signs, he can express his things like want, water, toilet, food. He is now ready to go out. Earlier, he was not ready to go out anywhere because of this problem. Now he is okay with everybody.
One of the most crucial times in any child's life is the transition from childhood to adulthood. But for a deaf-blind child, this can be a time fraught with difficulties and confusion.
Once the child reaches puberty, there are hormonal changes, there are, you know, a lot of behavior problems that suddenly begin which weren't there earlier. Parents are beginning to realize that kids are now growing up. This kind of thing, it requires a little bit of a, you know, change in your mindset, because you think you're the teacher here and, you know, you make decisions for children. So it is crucial for everybody. Children need a lot of support and counseling as they're growing older. So you need a very sensitive group of professionals and family members who will see the child through.
The Helen Keller Institute doesn't only provide emotional support at this time of transition, though. They also have a vocational training unit, which gives young deafblind adults skills that will hopefully increase their independence and open up the doors to perhaps finding work and earning some money.
We are also struggling with that at the moment. See, any vocational training will be successful when it ends up in a placement, in a job placement. And up till now, we haven't been able to link vocational training to a job placement scenario, because the job market is such, since last 10 years, there is a regression, there is global regression. So job market is not that open at the moment. Able-bodied people are not getting jobs. We are trying to sensitize employers to provide job opportunity for people with disabilities, like people who are deaf or blind or physically impaired. For them also, the job opportunities are going down. So at the moment, what we are trying to do is give these young adults a feeling of work culture, that there is a fixed time when you should go to this place. You don't have holidays like you used to get in school, and you have to manage your production or your activity in a certain period of time. And when you do that, there's a reward in terms of cash, you get a salary, and all these kind of, you know, experience we are trying to give to our young adults at the moment.
It's really tough for deafblind adults to integrate into a world of sound and vision, but many do succeed and are able to live relatively independently, travelling across India, getting married, having families, starting businesses. Akhil said I should go and see for myself. He sent me off to another branch of the Helen Keller Institute, the Computerized Braille Transcription Centre in central Mumbai. It's completely run by young deafblind adults and is a shining example of just what can be achieved. The centre is the vision of the inspirational Beroz Vatcha. Beroz is 74 years old, but today she's still as dedicated to the young deafblind adults in her care as she was more than 25 years ago when she started the institute.
I was always aware that there are deafblind people, but I didn't know where. See, way back in 1965, when I was a teacher trainee, just 1 month old, my principal asked me to go and be with a girl who was born deaf, and at the age of 16, she had become blind. And I didn't know what to do, but she says, you go there and do it. And that's the way I realized that when something comes to you, take it as a gift and make it a gift again back. I believe in that very strongly. And so that's how I grew. And from that day onwards, I committed myself that one day I'll be a teacher of the deaf.
I have to admit, I was pretty anxious about my ability to communicate with the deafblind children and adults I came across in the making of this programme. But one person changed all that for me in the space of 5 minutes. Pradeep. Pradeep is 25 and has Usher syndrome. He's completely deaf and blind. Akhil introduced me to Pradeep at a conference on disability a few days before I visited the Braille Press where he works. I was so nervous. How would we talk to each other? But Pradeep just picked up my hand and started block printing letters in my palm. He started slowly, but soon I picked it up and we talked in this way for about 15 minutes. So I was thrilled when I heard Pradeep would be my guide for a tour of the Braille Press.
Let me introduce you to our teacher, computer teacher. She's Devyani.
Hello.
This is Pradeep.
Hi.
He said hi to you.
Okay, so he's writing on my palm and brought letters.
This is palm printing, what you call it.
Okay, so now I take his palm and I say,
same thing in return.
And I'm just printing out my name. We met actually on Saturday already, so I wonder if he remembers.
Anna, you remember him? Yes, see, he's saying yes.
Anna is taping what she is speaking to everybody.
He wants to know what it's like, you know.
It's called a mini disc.
Yeah.
You speak inside.
You tell your name in the mic.
Hello, Pradeep.
He learns computers through a special device called Braille Display Board. Whatever processes are happening on the computers, it gives out in Braille output. Now he is typing out to talk to you. Okay. This is a very easy way of communicating with a normal person who doesn't know sign language.
So he's now running my fingers across the Braille keyboard to show me what he's typed. And it's pulsing against my finger. Okay. Hi, Pradeep. This is an amazing machine. As I'm typing, the keyboard is producing the Braille, and he's feeling it, and he can read what I'm writing. So now he's going to answer me. And he's pushing the keys. And every time he touches a keyboard, I feel a pulse in the Brailler. What kind... Am I too fast?
No.
Of material do you translate? So he's now feeling across the keyboard to see what I've written. And he's just touch typing now on the normal keyboard. When I am typing text, then translate to the embosser. Okay, so when I'm typing on the computer, the text that he's got is translated to the embosser for brailing. Okay, so this is a printer that produces Braille. Okay. He's typing again. I'm also working in the workshop for embossing the news letter.
Have you kidnapped Anna? See, we have fun like this. Have you told her about your vision and ambition to become a manager? Then tell her that is your ambition. That is your goal and vision. Yeah. Tell Anna.
Okay, so now he's going to sign my goal, my vision to be a manager in Braille Press. Can you hold this for me? I want to just tell him. I need his hand. You will do it.
You've been listening to The World at Your Fingertips. The program was prepared and presented by Anna Yedel. This has been a Radio Netherlands production.